We go. All
Okay,
right.
perfect. Thank you.
Okay, so where do you want to start?
I think Bill.
Okay. Mike, I want to talk ask about wisdom. Wisdom, she tells us that she cries out. Understanding raises her voice in the heights beside the way where the paths meet at the gates of the entrance of the town. And then she goes on to tell us that she's built a house, which would seem to mean that there's actually a place. And she set a table in that house, and she's calling anyone that lacks understanding, which is everybody, and to partake. It was almost then, like Jesus, she said, she brings forth the spiritual wine and the bread to eat with her.
Yeah.
And I wonder, does that tie in with, because that's what Christ was always doing, wine and the bread for the communion. They sat at the table, but so I'm wondering is there any tie in with that with communion with Christ? And also, when she says she built her house, there's a table. Is there a place where wisdom lives in heaven? Is there a house?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's a place. Yeah. I mean, it's on the heights. Yeah. Where wisdom is. If you think of when we think of house, we tend to think of somewhere where we go to sleep, where we eat, where we do those things. Where when we think of a biblical house, or it's about a dwelling, which is about a place of intimacy and relationship. So we tend to think the form of the house, it looks like this, and this is what's in it. Whereas actually, you know, where you know, we are the house of God. We are the dwelling. I mean, tabernacle, the actual word tabernacle just means dwelling. And so it's not, it isn't the where she puts her feet up and has a cup of tea and does that stuff. It's just talking about the place where we can engage in intimacy and dwell with her. So it's the dwelling place. And then that dwelling place becomes an entrance and a place of engagement. So when you think of Jacob in Genesis 28, where he talked about this is no other than the house of God and the dwelling and the gateway of heaven. And so all these things tie up. And when you're talking about obviously how they connect with what Jesus reveals, you know, everything is a fractal, so it all patterns out after the same. You know, God just shows small things, and then bigger things, and bigger things, and bigger things, and they all pattern after the basic. So, you know, does God have a house? Well, yeah, but it's not like a house that we have. His whole, the whole of the realms of heaven are his dwelling, in a sense, but within that place there are specific functioning engagement places. You know, so the house of God, you could say, is the whole of the realms of heaven, but then you could say it's also eternity. So you have, you know, if you think about the place where his presence is different from the place of his abode, which is a deeper place of intimacy and of engagement. So there's a lot of things where we do things in certain rooms in the house. In the kitchen, you cook. You know, in the dining room, you eat. In the lounge, you rest. In the bedroom, you sleep. So there are specific places where certain functions take place. But ultimately, the picture of it is a picture of it, of dwelling together. So, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, and then when we open the door, he comes in and he eats with us, he fellowships with us, he dines with us. It's about relationship. So where wisdom is talking about the analogies of the house and the table, don't think form, think function. What's the purpose of a table? What's the purpose of the house? You know, what's the purpose? Because it talks about the pillars. It talks about her handmaidens. You know, it talks about her engaging with prudence, and so it's all really more about what is the function that when we engage in intimacy with wisdom that will be outworked. That's the key, because you know whether it's talking about a physical dwelling place, you know, for us that means a place that we go in and out of. But in the realms of heaven, wisdom is not a human. she's still a created being, even though a very, very ancient created being, and has been there when everything else has been created, so was in a position of intimacy with the Father. And so when she sort of illustrates things, well, Solomon obviously describes how she calls out and calls to the sons of men, and you know, it's a very, very symbolic description, you know, where the way and the places and you know the doors and the gates, and I mean it's a very, very descriptive thing. And it's like when you get there and when you engage it, you engage in the different aspects of what that means. You know, so yeah, there are doors there. There are pathways that meet there. Some of the ancient paths meet there. It's a place which is on the heights, so it's talking about a position of governmental authority, which is high above a lot of other places in the realms of heaven. So it is really more about what do we do there than what it looks like. You know, and for me, that means engaging with her and engaging with the function that she has in preparing us for government, because that's what she really states. She's there to help kings and princes and nobles rule and to administer righteousness and justice. So that's really the key. So if there's a table, what's likely to be the symbolic encounter with that table? Well, we're likely to be able to have things presented there for us to eat. Now, we're not talking about, oh, well, we're just going to get a nice bit of food. We're talking about the things that will help us rule, the things that will help us be better kings, better princes, better nobles, to be able to understand how to access doors, how to understand the protocols of government. Those will be the things that are on the table for us. And there may well be, wisdom has given me most of the things that I needed for rulership. She gave me, the seal and of chancellorship and other things she gave me. Now, they were affirmed in my relationship with the Father and with Jesus. But, you know, there is no jealousy or competition in those relationships. They are just relationships formed out of perfect understanding of identity and knowing who they are, which is what they want us to know. They want us to know our position of sonship and who we always were, so that we can be that today. We can get caught up in trying to understand the form of those things rather than the function of those things. If there are paths that meet there, where have they come from and where are they going? That's the sort of thing I'll ask, you know, because that will indicate what I need to do on them. Because if it means I can go back into something, what do I need to go back into? If it means I need to cross and there's an intersection point here, what are the dimensions that are intersection? Because there are dimensional intersections that take place there that enable you from go into one dimension and in from another. So you can engage in the realm of the kingdom of God, you can access the realm of the kingdom of heaven, you can access into heaven itself, you can access the gate that goes into the city, which is talking about Zion, the mountain of God. You know, so all those things are really there for us to engage in and to experience. So is there a particular sort of reason you asked, or have you sort of been engaging that, or?
Sorry, Norma, go ahead. What's Elizabeth? Okay, yeah. Let me jump in. It seems to me that really part of intimacy with God cannot be, you have to go through wisdom. Like, it's not just one-on-one with God. Wisdom is the way. Almost to really know.
Yeah.
And therefore it becomes just more, it's like the nine stones are so important, but so is wisdom. Like, it's...
Yeah. I mean, in a sense, she will be the embodiment of that characteristic and nature of God that he wants her to reveal to us. She's not revealing her own personal things. She has been created and has spent time from, I mean, who knows, if before time, because she was there before time was created with God, and therefore is intimate with God herself. And because she has beheld and been intimate with God, she is able to release those characteristics and understandings of government and authority which come out of intimacy, because that is where she's got them. So when we engage with her, it's like when she engaged with God. Now, a lot of people sort of come up with, well, why can't we just engage with God ourselves? Look, why do we have to go through all these things like firestones, and why can't we just talk with God? Well, we do, you know. But when I talk with God, it seems to be much more, well, different, you know, because he set these things up like that. You know, why did he need angels to do all these things? He could have done it himself. He could have just cloned himself a billion times if he wanted to, so there would just be a billion representations of him. But he actually has chosen, as a creative God, to create things that point to one of the many facets of who he is. You know, the multifaceted wisdom of God it talks about, you know, in Ephesians. That we're to make known the manifold wisdom of God to the principalities and powers and rulers. So we're supposed to express something of the multicolored, multifaceted wisdom of God to those that are looking to observe. And therefore we have to spend time, if we're going to engage with wisdom, then wisdom is going to display something of the facets of God. Each of the creatures in heaven, the angelic beings, the created order of beings, are there to reflect something of God. And that may just be one facet. You know, if you look into, you know, a diamond, and you look in and you see all the ways which it's been cut, and you look deeper into it and you see the different facets and the different light that reflects off the different facets, they're all there to reveal something of the very nature of who God is. And of course, that's ultimately who we are. We're not created in the same way. We're sons. You know, we're to be sons of God. I don't think any of us can really fully get our head around that. But it means that we contain and have the potential for all those facets of God to be displayed through us. Whereas the angelic beings, they've got maybe one facet of God, whereas we're supposed to be sons, to be like him, not just to reflect something of his nature and character, but to be like him. You know, to be perfect as he's perfect. In other words, to be mature in our sonship, which is an amazing thing. You know, I mean, it does, you know, when I sort of meditate around that, it really challenges me to take the limits off my own expectations of who I can be and who I am. And, you know, it's like, you know, Jesus said, quoting, you know, one of the Psalms, I think, or Isaiah, you know, well, you are gods. You know, you're gathering with the gods. Well, we know there is only one God, but we're supposed to be gods. You know, and what does that mean? I mean, what does that really mean for us to be? Well, we're sons of God. We're not him, but we're supposed to be sons like him. You know, and I think some of that may well be outworked in dimensions and, you know, in what we call the age to come, I guess, but there must be a reflection of it and an outworking of it now. Because that's the only way the earth is going to come into alignment with heaven, when we begin to take our responsibility to re-engage it with carrying the frequency of who God is, his love, his light, his sound, his fragrance, and so that we become that gateway that expresses it into the earth in our governmental sphere that we're called to operate in. You know, and if everyone did their little bit, everything would be in order. And we'd be making that symphony of heaven, if you like, all instruments producing the sound which makes the overall sound which we love to hear. So, yeah, there we go.
I've got a quick question.
I've got
a question. Speaking of form and function, where it says, does not understanding raise her voice? And then it goes on further to say, O simple ones, learn prudence, O fools, learn sense. Now, I've heard it commonly understood that, is that speaking of the spirit of understanding or prudence, the handmaiden of wisdom? Or is it a function?
Probably all of them. I mean, you know, this is the sort of the multi-layered way in which we experience things. When we first experience these things, sometimes we see things and we encounter stuff that gives us an insight into it, and then when we go deeper into it, we find that there are deeper levels of engagement. So if wisdom hangs out with prudence and understanding, then all of them will carry something of each other's nature because they work together. So if they form a government of three, then there's a unity that they have that operates when they function together. And when one is on their own, they still represent the three. So when I'm in a bench of three, I represent the three even when I'm on my own. And so do the other two when they're on. But when we come together, what we share enables us to know each other more and therefore to function together from a position of understanding each other and outworking it. So I know, you know, those would say, well, okay, they are individual angelic beings, which is true. And then they also carry the name and the function of that expression, if you like. So when it talks about wisdom's handmaidens, wisdom is not the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom as part of the seven spirits of God is not wisdom. You know, and wisdom is never described in Proverbs 8 as the spirit of wisdom. She's described as wisdom. And so that is different from the seven spirits of God. You know, and therefore, you know, that's just been my personal experience. Because when I've met the spirit of wisdom, it doesn't look anything like wisdom, where I've encountered on the heights. Seems to have a very different function in equipping us for government, whereas wisdom herself very much seems to, encapsulate the protocols of heaven and heavenly government and rulership, whereas the spirit of wisdom is much more about tutoring me in my position, wisdom seems to help me understand how things function in other places, courts, assemblies, houses. Again, it's, I think the more we engage, the more we will receive and understand. For me, when I've engaged on wisdom's heights, I've never engaged wisdom or understanding. I've never engaged prudence or understanding. I'm just engaged with wisdom herself. But I'm sure in my engagement that I've received understanding and prudence, although I would have never engaged them personally. You know, others have done, and that's awesome. But I know when I engage with wisdom, for me, I will have received those things because she is functioning from that position of relationship herself, if you like, with them. Others may have had definite encounters. I may have encountered them in some angelic encounters potentially, but I've never spoken to them and as those names, as that identity perhaps, but no. Yeah.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. I tried changing computers just now. We were thinking to do a little more lengthier activation today, because what we have found is was really helpful. Like the last time we did the activation and the firestones, it was really helpful to be able to go back and just focus on that alone. You know, after having a discussion, unless you guys have any more questions, I think just doing it, it's really, really helpful engaging directly in it, you know, so that we could go back to that, like the last time with the firestones, you could just go back and listen to that over and over again and engage in it, in the activation itself. What do you think, guys? Yeah? I know you're not seeing my face, my computer, sorry. No? Is that, we good with that?
Sure. Where is it that you want to engage?
Well, I would say I had an experience, I think I told you before, where I was listening to something that you, one of your mandarin sessions, I can't remember which one it was, but I think it was about the way in wisdom, and I had to come outside here where I am now, and I had a profound experience where I felt I was being taken to a particular place, and in my heart I felt as though I didn't see her clearly, but it felt strongly because it was a overwhelming experience where I felt like I saw her, and being taken to this almost like not a crossroad place, but a place. I really can't explain it. Yeah, and.
So we want to go to wisdom's heights?
Yeah, that's the word.
Okay. That would be a good place to go. When we go there, I think for those who will probably listen to this from outside of this group, I'll probably just open the different places there, but okay. You just feel free to stay in whatever engagement that you come across, because I know, you know, sometimes I'll just carry on when you want to stay, that's fine. Just engage where you need to engage. The key into it is, you know, there are lots of places there. There are lots of things that are there, and it's finding the one that you need to engage with today. And so, you know, if you need to stay engaged looking into wisdom's eyes and going deeper into that, that's great. If you want to go through the doors or engage the crossroads or even go through the gate into the chancellor's houses in the city, that's great, but I think it would be, you know, we'll just see. For you, feel free to just stay where you need to stay.
That's perfect.
Okay, all right, okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, okay. Right. Okay, Father, we just come before you right now under an open heaven, and we take those steps into that open door, and we look to you, Jesus, as we step into that realm, that you would take us by the hand and you would lead us to experience that which you want us to engage with today. We just pray right now that you would just take us through the veils. Just engaged now at the heights. Just step into that place. Wisdom dwells, where her pillars and her doorways and where the way and where the pathways meet. Open our spirit to the atmosphere. Of being on the heights. And as we engage with wisdom. As we embrace her. As we look into her eyes. And look into the depths. Our heart to heart. We hear the cry that's called us here. And we come as kings and princes and nobles. In our position as sons, to be tutored in wisdom, in that place of protocol, of governmental authority, just open up our hearts, we open up our spirit to draw revelation, deep calling out to deep. We feel drawn to that place. In intimacy and in what was, where wisdom was there when we were formed in the very heart of God. Engaging what was, the thoughts of God about us, the deepest wisdom that set who we were, that called us into the expression of our true identity. Wisdom reveals deeper and deeper. Our call, our nature, our destiny unveils the scroll of the thoughts of God. As who we are and our connection to all of creation, our spirit engaging with everything. wisdom draws us deeper into the very heart and facets of God, into the sapphire cube. The deep things of God. As we go deeper and deeper into Him. Through wisdom's door. We embrace the way and engage those ancient paths. With wisdom, just allow her to take you along those pathways, perhaps to the doors that you can engage through, maybe into the stars, maybe into beneath the earth, to the atmosphere, into the dimensions of governance and rule that you're called to. Just let your spirit draw you to that deeper place of revelation, of encounter, of engagement. Where what is deep in you calls to what is deep. Where you answer and engage with all of creation's call and groan for the revealing of the sons of God. Just allow sonship and the revelation of sonship to be imparted deeper and deeper into your spirit. You embrace the magnitude and the wonder of your connection to the whole of the created order and your spheres of government. Wisdom would introduce some of you now to Metatron, the keykeeper and the timekeeper, the realms of heaven and earth. There are new seasons, new doors and dimensions of government that many are called to right now. And as wisdom enables you to engage with Metatron, that opens the door with the key for your destiny, to engage that sapphire cube that is being unveiled and the mysteries long forgotten, now unveiled. Just allow your spirit to engage in the dimensions and the spheres of heavenly government, calling you to the order of Melchizedek and the fullness of your expression of the four faces of God. You would engage with the government of heaven to be reflected on earth. Take the keys into your spirit, the keys to new dimensions, to new seasons, new times. Where new realms are open. Find your place where you were always intended to be. Spirit rise up to the challenge. To take your place. In the governmental order of God. Of 3 and 4 and 7 and 12. Expressing God's governmental matrix, that your spirit just resonate as the frequency of God's government and your position in those ancient paths, in what was, will just lead you in the fullness of that expression in what is, so that you would reconcile and restore and bring about what will be. We just draw back. So our spirit just draws back from those deep places that we receive the key and the time for this new season and our new place. All that we've received from wisdom that our spirit would contain and release. As we just prepare to step back through the veils, resonating, vibrating with that which we've received. All right.